This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Time to radically accept today's episode has started recording now.
We are radically accepting where we are.
Hey, Em. Hey, Jen.
Today, we're talking about radical acceptance.
And what the fuck that even means and how we do it.
Because I think there's a lot, it's like a buzzword, you know?
Yeah, it is.
People love talking about acceptance, radical acceptance.
So and what it even, the fuck it even means.
So what I first want to say is that I think the important thing to note about radical acceptance is that it isn't about denying a situation, and it's not about denying your feelings about a situation. And that's something we're going to reiterate throughout the episode, because pain in life is not an option.
That's so rude.
I know. But suffering is an option.
Ooh.
Just really had to drop that bomb.
Yes.
First and foremost.
All right.
And so we're going to talk to you about how do you accept that certain situations are painful and also part of life? And how do you keep yourself from continuing to suffer or suffering based on those situations? Mm-hmm. And this is, first and foremost, a very much a learned skill. And so radical acceptance is accepting the things that are out of your control and being able to accept situations for what they are. And once again, does not mean being pushing away the emotions that are attached to that or struggling with the emotions attached to it, because that creates more suffering.
Yeah. So radical acceptance comes from DBT, which is dialectical behavioral therapy, which was developed in 1993 by Marsha Linehan. And it is an amazing way to figure out how to have some type of distress tolerance. So for those of us who are, we'll use the word easily triggered just because that's kind of the language people use. But what we talk about is like distress tolerance. How do I sit in incredibly uncomfortable things? And so DBT is often used for people that can become highly activated in a situation. And so radical acceptance is a big part of DBT.
Part of sitting with the pain of something and being able to tolerate that pain is the reason why we can cope with it a little bit easier. And I think so often people come into therapy and they're like, fix my anxiety. I don't want to feel anxiety at all. Or I don't want to feel depression, or I don't want to feel sadness, or, and so this might blow your mind if you've never been to therapy before, that our goal is not to take away those negative emotions.
But how often does somebody come in or like a contact form gets filled out and it's like, I don't want to be anxious anymore. Me either.
Same.
I also want to experience no pain.
That would be phenomenal.
And if there was a magical pill we could give you, I assure shit would be prescribing it. If there was some easy fix for anything in life.
So being able to acknowledge the pain that you're in, allow it to come in, allow yourself to acknowledge it, validate it, and then release it. And recognize that there's only so much you can do in the situation. That is part of radical acceptance. Mm-hmm. So there might be some signals that you might need to practice radical acceptance. You want to hear some
of
them?
Yeah, I do. I want to hear everything. I experience all of these. Tell me, Jen.
If you say to yourself, I can't deal with this. Do you think we ever do that?
Never. Never said that a day in my life.
This is not fair.
Oh, my God. So my mom said that, like, growing up. I think I said this in the Sibley episode, right? My mom said that, like, growing up, I used to always say, this isn't fair. My brother used to say, well, I came first. Your girl needs some big DBT, which is probably why I was diagnosed with borderline at the sweet, sweet age of 16 years old.
Were you?
Okay. But I think every 16-year-old girl gets diagnosed with borderline, and I also think everything's on a spectrum. And I think 100%. I have a lot of those traits, and I have no shame about that. People with borderline personality disorder are easily stigmatized.
Totally.
They are some of my favorite people in the whole fucking world. They feel things on such an extra level.
Absolutely.
And I do think that I have many traits of it.
You just never told me that. Surprise. Surprise here.
I also think I've been diagnosed with, like, everything.
So fun. Mental health is so fun.
Also, the second you go to rehab for an eating disorder, it's like borderline.
People love to diagnose you.
But also, like, all eating disorder centers, like, they're just like borderline, borderline, borderline.
Right, right. You just, like, get put into this box.
And I just went to a lab treatment.
Things shouldn't be like this. I can't believe this is happening. Common. It's not right. Things should be different. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening now? This is horrible.
Oh my God.
So on and so forth.
But I told you the story about Millie saying this is horrible, right?
I forget.
That we had this blanket that, like, one side's fuzzy and one side's like, it's fuzzy, but a different kind of fuzzy. And then one day she's like, flip it over. I need the other side. Then she's like, oh, this is horrible. So Millie, get some radical acceptance, girlfriend. Hurry it up.
Absolutely. She has to accept the fact that that side is horrible.
It was not even horrible.
It was horrible.
And that's
for her.
The thing is, all this stuff is like, they feel like extremes to the situation, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think part of it is the resistance to the emotion you have, right? Like, this isn't fair. And there's such a resistance to the emotion as opposed to, like, this is painful, right? Like, I feel pain from this. If Millie were to be able to say, this does not feel good for me, and I am recognizing that this blanket does not feel good. Right? As opposed to, this is hard. There's, like, a resistance, right?
Yes.
What happens when we resist our emotions is that we create more suffering. We create more pain for ourselves, and we get stuck in a cycle. So when we talk about anxiety, this is something that really helped me with my anxiety and a lot of my clients with their anxiety, is that when they come in and talk about, you know, I'm feeling anxious and I want to stop feeling anxious. What happens when you tell yourself not to feel something that you're already feeling?
You feel it more.
You feel it even more.
I know I do.
I do too. And so you start to get anxious about the fact that you're feeling anxious.
Or, I mean, that's like a panic attack. Like, if it's don't get a panic attack, don't get a panic attack. You're going to get a panic attack.
Like, I used to have horrible panic attacks. And so that is, as opposed to saying, listen, if I can accept the fact that, okay, I'm feeling really anxious right now, I'm feeling like I'm going to have a panic attack. You say, okay, what's the worst case scenario? What if I have a panic attack? What would happen? Right? You're accepting the fact that the panic attack is out of your control. If you could control your anxiety and control your panic attacks, wouldn't you just do it? You know what I mean?
I would.
And so that's something I want you to think about real quick. Take some time to think about. If you had control over those feelings, wouldn't you just feel happy all the time? I say that in the sense of, like, we actually don't have control over the feelings that we have. Mm-hmm. Right? We feel things. It is okay that we feel things. It is part of the human experience.
And it does. And feelings aren't facts. That's another part of this.
Feelings,
right?
Aren't facts, right?
Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's factual. Just because I feel like you're not giving, like, that you're ignoring me.
Right.
Actually does not mean that's real.
Right. Right.
Maybe you had diarrhea that day.
Right. And, like, why wouldn't I ignore you if I had diarrhea? I have things to deal with. You know what I mean? And so
your dog did have diarrhea the other day and you didn't answer my phone call.
I know. Did you think I was ignoring
you? No, I didn't. But I'm just using that for an example that you had
I literal shit to deal with. He had horrible diarrhea. It was really...
Yeah. But I could have taken that personally that you hadn't called. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and that's what can happen with people.
Absolutely. And so
So why do people have trouble with radical acceptance?
People have trouble with radical acceptance because I think that they believe that radical acceptance is being okay with the situation. Right? And so if you think about something in your past, right, if you didn't have a good relationship with a parent, the resistance to it, or you still don't have a good relationship with a parent, the resistance to it of like, I don't have a good relationship with them. They treated me like shit, right? And that is true. And that does not mean you have to be okay with the fact that that happened. You are allowed to have pain from that. But you're allowed to have it, accept it, and say, listen, what am I going to do with it now? Because resistance to it and saying, well, I wish something was different. I wish I had a better child. Look at Susie's relationship with her parent. Why don't I have that?
So a really good example of this is our morning today.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. So we came into the office. We record once a month on a Sunday. We record everything at once, right? So, you know, like, do you really want to work on a Sunday? No, absolutely not. But, like, it's the thing that makes the most sense for us.
And let's just preface this. We very much mentally have to prep ourselves for these days.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's a long day of talking.
Yeah. And being, like, totally present, talking about stuff, keeping up with the tech and the mics. And then, you know, this we fuck up the sound, the video, whatever. So we get into the office. The fucking heat's broke. So we knew the heat
really
was
broken. And also there was a snowstorm last night.
Okay, so there's a snowstorm yesterday. The heat's broken today. We do have space heaters. They blow out the fuses. We set up all the equipment for everything to be blown out and not be able to use it. So then we have to move it all, right? So then we have to go be like, fuck, we have another part of the office. This shit's not blown out. Our landlord's supposed to come, not coming, whatever. We have to move all of the equipment into this other office that we don't usually record in. You'll see us here. Set it all up again. We go through all the tests and everything again. And at any point during this, we could have said,
well, we did,
I can't do this.
We did
this
say.
This isn't fair.
We did. I think we had moments of that, right? Where we said, yeah, this fucking sucks. We cursed out our landlord a little bit
mentally,
because it's
yeah,
a right. And so, like, we had moments of fighting it. But then, what are we going to do about it, right? Like,
we got to record the episodes.
We couldn't change the yes, fact that it was freezing in there.
Yep.
And so, it does not mean we are okay with the fact that we don't have heat.
But how many of these things did we say? This is horrible. Why is this happening now? Things should
be different.
Things shouldn't
be like
right.
This.
I can't
this is not
this
fair.
This is happening. We said every single one of these
exactly,
things, right?
So listen, that's going to happen. You're going to yes, have that initial thought because it isn't fair that our heat's broken and we had the whole
sucks,
thing set up and
sucks,
we
sucks,
we mentally prepped ourselves. Like, that sucks. But if you stay stuck in that, there is no movement and there's no ability to either grieve the situation, right? Like, our expectation about recording in that freezing cold room, we had to grieve that.
Yeah.
And we had to say, okay, well, how are we going to pivot? And also, I think that's very present in business in general.
Yeah.
That you have to, as
keep
opposed,
it moving.
You have to keep it moving. It's the only way to function. And so, but it's very easy to get stuck in, why is this happening to me without the movement from it?
And I think if we also weren't validating how shitty it was, we would have then maybe taken it out on each other.
Yes.
And start getting like a little bit frustrated with one another. But instead we're able to say like, okay, like this is contextual. This is happening around us.
Yeah.
It is hurting us, but like nobody here caused any issues. It's not someone's fault. There's no one to blame.
Yes.
It just is.
And I think that when the fact that we can validate each other and be able to give that and be able to give ourselves the space to be upset about it first, mm-hmm, and then move from it is actually really important because, you know, this was a question that we got and we also want to mention the difference if we were to say like, you know, like it's fine, everything's fine, like don't be sad about this, don't be upset about this. Like,
I would have been so pissed at you if you said that.
You would have been pissed at me.
Oh my God, it's so toxic.
Because that is toxic positivity.
And there's a big difference between radical acceptance and toxic positivity.
Because in that, we very much accepted the fact that that was frustrating for us and very difficult and not what we expected, as opposed to saying, I shouldn't be upset about this. Like, you know, where you're dismissing your own feelings, or I'm saying to Emily, you should not have your feelings about that. That is toxic positivity, where you're saying you're not allowed to have any sort of negative emotion around mm-hmm, this. Right. So radical acceptance involves having those negative emotions and developing tolerance around those negative emotions so that you can move through it as opposed to getting stuck.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the therapy group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
So when you do not accept something, you are working to avoid the pain that comes with the situation, which is like toxic positivity. And when you do that, you also keep yourself from feeling joy, from feeling real joy. That's where it's toxic, is because you're not actually ever feeling the positive effects.
Well, and here's the thing. This is one of the things Brené Brown talks about, like from her research, which is you do not get to selectively feel and not feel emotions. So if I'm not letting myself feel the spectrum over here, guess what? I don't get to feel the spectrum over here. You don't get to pick and choose what you feel. Feelings are just feelings.
They're just feelings. You just feel them. You let them come and go. Yep. What's that saying? Feelings are...
not facts.
No, like it's like
ocean a... ocean wave?
Some, yeah, something like, hey, come and go. I don't know. I, you know?
What's listen, saying?
I don't know. I'm going to have to add it. It's definitely a quote. Who
okay,
knows?
Okay, somebody find
But
that.
The thing that's really important is the lack of judgment, right? That you are not judging yourself for the situation, right? So an example, we were using us as an example, but you might just within yourself jump to invalidating your own feelings by saying, yeah, I should not be feeling this way, or it's wrong for me to feel this
right,
way.
Right, like, oh, like this is such a champagne first world problem. But like, right, it is fucking annoying when you right, spend your Sunday doing it.
Everything's
you know,
relative
fine, yeah,
too. Yeah, like do other people have it worse? Are they struggling? Yeah, but that doesn't take away from the fact that like you're still struggling.
Yeah, and do I need to take up space when other people are actually struggling with real shit to talk about, you know, that we had to move some furniture? No, shut the fuck up. You don't need to take space about that, right? But in this moment, the two of us together, we could create space for that to release it and keep moving.
It's how we keep moving.
Yeah.
So we freak out first and then we get back
That's
at
fine.
It. All right. So some phrases that can help you practice radical acceptance. You ready?
I'm ready.
I can only control the present moment. When I fight against my worries and negative emotions, I only fuel them to grow larger. Mm. I'm going to jump in before I keep going because I know I mentioned this before.
Yeah.
But your ability to give yourself space for the emotions that are coming in that are out of your control allows you to move through them in a much easier way. because as a society, we struggle with negative emotions. We have been taught that it's not okay to feel them, because when we were younger and we say, oh, I'm upset about something, or parents might say you're being too sensitive, or trying to fix it by saying, oh, cheer up, like you have this, this, and this. So we very much learn from an early age that having those negative emotions isn't okay. And so look at your internal monologue about having those negative emotions. Mm-hmm. So that's a perfect example, is like we learn to fight against our negative emotions because society has told us it's not okay to have them. When you're human and you're going to have them. I cannot change the things that have happened in the past. This is a really, really hard one.
So apparently that means I shouldn't beat myself up for all my shame in childhood?
Exactly.
Got it.
Because what does that do?
Makes me feel shitty and small.
Exactly. I am able to accept the present moment exactly as it is. I think this is a hard one.
Yeah.
I can get through difficult emotions even if it's hard. I love this one.
I can do hard things. I can feel hard things.
I can feel hard things.
Very Glennon Doyle.
Very Glennon Doyle. But I think a way to dive into this is I want you to think about all of the times that you have struggled with something. You have gotten through those times every single time. When we're stuck in our pain, it feels so big and it feels so overwhelming that the way in which we try to get out of it is to push it away, as opposed to saying, I will get through this, I always do, right? It's just temporary. It is unhelpful for me to fight against what has happened in the past. Mm. It is not possible for me to change what happened. I am able to accept things the way that they are. I will get through this no matter what. I will survive and this feeling will fade, even though it feels painful right now. Did that make you think of the song? Because I see you smiling.
No, I'm going to let you finish these.
I just wanted you to break into song.
Oh, I will. I will survive.
Thank you.
Hey. God. I'm trying to be respectful, damn it.
What I'm going through right now is hard, but it's temporary, just as we said. It's possible for me to feel anxiety but still manage the situation in an effective way. And okay. So many more.
Okay. But I think it's really important to talk about when radical acceptance is not appropriate.
Yes.
Because there's sometimes shit is not okay. One of those is dangerous situations or situations of abuse. Once again, the things we talk about do not apply to abuse. Never, never, never.
Never. Okay?
You do not radically accept abuse. When you're being taken advantage of, if someone's treating you poorly, and know, like, if you're experiencing some degree of burnout with your current situation, you can change it. So you don't have to radically accept because someone's treating you like shit and so you're being undervalued. You can radically accept it and still be like, and I gotta get the fuck out now.
That's a perfect example of, like, sometimes we feel stuck when we're not actually stuck.
Yeah.
Right? I think so often we say, oh, I'm stuck in this situation or relationship, when we might feel stuck, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're stuck.
And what's radical acceptance versus, like, people, like, using it as using it for people pleasing and avoidance.
Right.
Right? As opposed to being like, oh, well, I just have to radically accept this, but, like, actually you just want to avoid the conflict. That's not radical acceptance.
Oof. Right? And that's something to ask yourself. Well, and I think that's to be able to recognize that you're not stuck might be able to show you that maybe you're doing it as a way to people please or to not cause conflict in some way.
So we have so many freaking questions.
So many questions. So
we're not
going
to get to everything. But somebody, let's start with the first one. How the fuck do I do that?
So
because this is, I think, the most important one.
So first, I want you to take some time and think about, what do I do with my negative emotions, right? Mm. When I am feeling...
Avoid. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Dismiss.
When I am...
Jokes. Got it.
When I am feeling something negative, how do I talk to myself about what I am feeling? Mm. What are the things that I say to myself? Do I say, oh my God, I need to stop feeling this way? Or, oh my God, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I don't know why they all start with, oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Oh my God.
Right? So what I'm talking about is metacognition. You're thinking about your thoughts surrounding your feelings. Okay. Mind blown.
Thinking about my thoughts surrounding my feelings.
When you get to that point where you can think about your thoughts surrounding your feelings, you can recognize how quickly that process might be happening. okay, I'm feeling lonely. And I say, well, I shouldn't feel lonely. I have so many friends, right? You're saying I shouldn't feel a certain way. No, you feel lonely. You're allowed to feel lonely. What we were talking about earlier is the meaning that you make from that loneliness. That comes secondary. The first step is being able to say, it's okay that I feel lonely. It's okay that I want to be connected to people. You're radically accepting how you feel. And so that's a situation in which you can make a change, right? Maybe I'll call someone. Maybe I'll – but when you deny yourself the ability to feel those negative emotions, it keeps you stuck and keeps you from the ability to make a change.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Can you talk about the release of control that's needed to do this?
Oh, my goodness.
Because it is a release of control.
It's such a release of control.
So, like, I think some people think that this is going to help them have more control, but, like, you're getting it wrong.
There are so – this is going to be really tough for people. There are so many things that we don't have control over. And I'll give you an example. I used to have really bad panic attacks when I was, like, in college.
Yeah.
And leading into grad school. But – some of them were surrounding being late for things, which I still am very early. But there was a situation.
But
in
you've
which,
also been late many times now that does not upset
does
you
not
way.
Cause me the same.
You were a very
pain.
Different person.
Very, very different.
Yeah.
So, for example, I remember there was this one time in college I had to get on a train to go home or something. You had to drive like 20 minutes to the train. I would often have anxiety about being late or missing something, missing a train, and there being traffic. And so my anxiety would build as I was driving and I was hitting traffic and I was worried about being late to something. But the fact of the matter is, once I left, I had no control over what time I was going to get there.
Nope.
None. But my
Red
brain...
Red lights.
Nothing.
Traffic, accidents, nothing.
But my brain very much told me that I had some sort of control over whether I missed this train or not. When in reality, you really don't. You could drive really fast, which is really dangerous, and I definitely did that. You could freak the fuck out in cars, and you could ride people's asses. So I remember I got to this train station, and I missed the train, had a complete meltdown. I was by myself. I had a horrible panic attack. And I was, you know, in public. Some guy comes up to me, and he says, excuse me, ma'am, like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I was just, like, a mess. And he says, I know how you feel. Like, my wife just lost her child. I was like,
holy fuck.
Oh, fuck.
His wife lost her child?
Yeah. Their child.
Oh, okay.
So I guess she had a miscarriage.
You've never told me the story before.
I know. And, but that was a moment in time where I'm like, my reaction to this is not fitting this situation.
Wow.
I know.
I can't believe I've never heard that story before.
I know.
Do you feel embarrassed? Is that why you've never, like, is it?
No, I don't feel embarrassed. I thought about it in the shower today. Yeah. I was like, I should probably talk about this.
Yeah.
Because my anxiety was so intense and I felt like I had so much control over situations than I had. And once you get to the point where you realize that you don't have control over something that you thought you had so much control over, you completely break down.
Yeah.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blueland. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
And so part of being able to relinquish that control really can help you with your anxiety. And so I want you to think about, what are the things that I'm fearful of? If I miss the train, what's the worst case scenario? I would not let myself get to that point. Mm-hmm. I would just say, I can't miss this train, right? I'm not accepting the fact that I can miss that train and that missing the train is out of my control. I just could not accept it. I wasn't able to radically accept the fact that that wasn't in my control. So what are the things that you might not be radically accepting that are out of your control? Mm. One of those, this is going to get morbid, is death.
Yeah.
I really, really mean this. I know that this is morbid.
But it's true.
It's true. Another example of this is when you're on a flight. That plane goes down, what control do you have?
Nothing.
I know I'm probably hitting people where it hurts right now. I'm really picking at those anxieties.
Yes, nothing, yeah.
And listen, I get it. And so...
Or keeping other people alive. I think for a lot of people have extreme fear and anxiety around their parents' mortality.
Yes, absolutely. And another thing you don't have control over, and I think ways in which we try to control that is to check on them, right? Or to... I'll give you another. I'm full of stories today.
Yeah, I'm gonna hear.
Because this is a huge, huge one in my family too. Grandmother's very, very anxious and checks. My grandmother's 93, and checks on my mom and follows her on Find My Friends. It's a huge boundary issue that I've talked to her about. Anyway, so
I can't believe your grandmother's 93 and can use Find My Friends.
Is that why you said, "Oh my god"?
I don't even know how to use Find My Friends.
Yeah, they're very techie. It's amazing. But my mom left my grandmother's house and took a different way home. And my grandmother saw that and called my mom and said, "Oh my God, why'd you take a different way home? Is something wrong?" She has extreme anxiety. I said to my mom, "What is she going to do if something was wrong?" Right?
What could have been wrong? Did she do a different way?
Anxiety just runs
sorry.
Deep in this family.
Sorry, logic and emotion. I got it.
But what was she going to do if something was wrong, right? There's an inability to accept the fact that she has no control over whether something happens to my mom or not, mm-hmm. right? And so same thing with your parents, your aging parents. What control do you have over if something happens? And it's really terrifying. That's the thing about it, radical acceptance, is being able to acknowledge that it's really terrifying that that's out of your control.
Yeah. Okay. We have to go through quite a few questions.
Okay, here. I'm sorry. There's so many really stories. Good ones.
No, I want to hear everything. Okay. I want to hear everything you have to say
that's
at all times.
So nice.
But I also want people to get their
fair,
questions
fair.
So I shall radically accept our time.
Okay.
Somebody said, "How to do with ex-wives or blended families?"
How to do with ex-wives or blended families?
You can't control anyone else,
right?
There can be radical acceptance of a situation and still fucking not be thrilled about it. Like, right. We're not saying you have to like this shit. You just can't hyper-focus and try to control it. That's not going to do anything besides drive you mad.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And when we try to control other people, it hurts our relationships. Right? So being able to radically accept the fact you don't have control over anyone else. The only one you have control over is you. How you express yourself, what boundaries you set for yourself, how you take care of yourself. And so being able to focus on, we talk a lot about this in couples therapy too, where so quick to blame the other person. Maybe if I blame you, you'll change. When really you don't have control over what the other person is doing. What you have control over is the responsibility that you take in your part in the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said something really good, which I think you could be helpful with.
Okay.
How to explain a radical acceptance to your clients without sounding invalidating. So a therapist wrote this in.
Okay, so just as we're saying, radical acceptance does not mean denying yourself the ability to feel your emotions, right? Once again, does not mean denying yourself the ability to feel your emotions. So you're very much allowed to feel those feelings from your childhood. I hear how hard that is. I hear. And then moving towards a place, and I think that this can take time as a therapist mm-hmm. too. Like, it's okay to stay in the validating mode for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very possible, and I'm using this in the context of if someone's focusing on their childhood, if something really bad that happened, like that can be really painful, especially in therapy if it's the first time that they're talking about it. If you've never talked about it before, that sometimes you really have to spend time validating the emotion that's coming up from this painful experience that you've never been able to talk about before. So being able to sit in that validation part and then to talk about, okay, how do you work towards, you know, accepting that that is what your childhood looked like. How did that affect you? And also noticing the times in which you might be focusing on, I wish things were different, or I wish I had a different relationship. This is how things would be different now. Like, okay, let's talk about grief. What does that grief look like of grieving what you wish that this relationship would look like? Because you're going back to the emotion of this is painful. It's okay for this to be painful. And so what can we do with that now? And so when you go into the mode of what can we do with that now, you're bringing yourself back into the present moment. To say, how am I going to handle these emotions? How am I going to process them? And what can I do with it? How do I move forward in the present? Because you don't have control over what happened back then.
Mm-hmm. This is a very good question. Okay. Does it take time or does it just happen right away?
It takes time.
Has there ever been anything in the history of this field that happens right away?
I wish.
No, I don't think
the more you practice it, the quicker it will happen.
Yes.
Right? Like, so for example, when we came in, it was freezing. We very quickly moved on because we've practiced it, but also we had to. Yeah. We're on a time constraint.
But we still bitch about it the whole time.
Totally. Probably like bitch about it after this.
Yeah, we'll bitch about it for sure. I mean, especially if it's not fixed tomorrow, we're definitely bitching, right? Somebody said, I think this would be good and this would be very helpful. How about some journal questions to jumpstart my internal dialogue for this? You got any?
Let me think. So
that'd be a fun thing to add to episodes at the end, do a journal prompt.
What things am I holding on to that I don't have control over? So maybe I want you to make a list of the things in your life that you might worry about that you don't have control over. And you could do that every single day, right? Mm-hmm. What are the things in my life that I worry about that I don't have control over? And that might be a key or some sort of direction to move towards in recognizing the things you have to radically accept. Once again, and so then you could take it even deeper, because I don't have control over these things, how does that make me feel? What do I do with those feelings, right? Sometimes instead of being able acknowledging those feelings, we go into trying to control them. So being able to see the things that you don't have control over might allow you to go deeper into what are the feelings that I have connected to the fact that I don't have control over these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have to do Dear Em and Jen.
I'm ready.
But we're going to go with the topic, all right? You ready?
A what?
It's with the topic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Dear Em and Jen, my boyfriend's family does things that are frustrating a lot. Mm. How do we know when we can radically accept or not let it go, not let it get to us as much, or when we need to set boundaries and stand up to them? And it seems like quite a few people wrote in similar things like this. They're like, what's the line between like radical acceptance and like really need to stick up for yourself. I think people tend to get lost there.
So one thing I wanted to mention, not let it get to us so much. I know I'm a broken record in this.
That's okay. Keep breaking it, baby.
How does it feel for you that your boyfriend's family does some frustrating things, right? Like, what's that like for you? How do you manage it in your relationship? And I think you're saying we, which is nice because you're...
Yeah, she's not saying I.
She's not saying I. You're saying we. Like, we can do this together. I think that's something that the two of you can talk about, right? Like, because it can be a process, too, between the two of you of how can we acknowledge the feelings and how this might be affecting our relationship, mm-hmm. right? And then what control do we have over this? And what does that look like? So is control that we're setting boundaries, we're seeing them less, we're expressing ourselves differently, we're not bringing up certain topics. Like, those are the things you have control over. Things you don't have control over is what the things that they say. Right? You can't control the things they say or the things they do. You can control the boundaries that you set, the way you respond to the things mm-hmm. that they say. And so, but I think there's a way of like co-regulating in that and saying, how do we do this together? I love that they're saying we in this.
I think one of the things that really works for me in my life is I have a list of non-negotiables of stuff I'm going to speak up for. I don't care of the situation, right? Like, one of those is, like, you know, my part of, like, anti-racist work, right? Like, if somebody makes a comment, I'm going to fucking say something.
Absolutely.
Right? But so you can have a list of non-negotiables. When somebody says this, that doesn't fucking work for me. I have to say something back. Other shit, if somebody's late, frankly, that's going to be, like, usually a not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to fucking let that go. If someone's an hour late, I'm probably going to say something, right? So, like, there can be a line of what you draw, and you get to make that up for yourself. You do not have to radically accept everything in life. There's a lot of shit I do not accept in my life, and you are allowed to say which one lines up for me.
Absolutely. I love that.
Especially if you're a people pleaser and avoid it. You need to look at, are you using radical acceptance as an escape?
Beautifully said.
And that's it. And now we're going to radically accept this episode's over.
Oh, got it. Okay, so an example of me not radically accepting is, like, I don't want to.
Do you want to keep talking? You want to tell any more stories?
Anything good? No, I got nothing else.
Save it for next week.
I'll save it for next week.
Hey, thank you for being here for today's episode. As always, we would love if you shared this episode or any other ones that related to you. We always ask that you rate, review, subscribe, follow on Apple Podcasts, rate on Spotify. We're just so grateful that you spend this time. Now that we've hit 100 episodes, let's make it to 1,000 so Jen dies.
I know you can see my face, but... I was
having a hard time. Check us out on YouTube to see Jen's face that she just made of me. And don't ever forget that to grow yourself, you really got to know yourself. We'll see you next week.
See ya.